Good evening. It is still April the 8th, 2019, and this is Dan. Excuse me. This is Dan, and I noticed a couple of episodes back as I was analyzing the informational stream of my general awareness that I had passed 100th episode of the Little Saigon Report. Now, when you consider that the Little Saigon Report hasn't even been around for a year yet. It'll be a year and a couple months. Shit. Maybe by then I'll have worked enough weeks to be able to get back my Yamaha and I can do a musical Little Saigon on the Yamaha to talk about the future or the past. But yeah, the 100th episode. But what the hell does that mean and why does it matter? Why should you care? I've got a stack of topics on my computer, and I could just spend the next hour picking one up. I've been writing these topics on post-it notes and just sticking them on my computer. I could just pick them off one by one. I finished my stew. As I mentioned, my cookbook, Living Rough, I finished my stew. It was quite good. It's now sitting inside of my blibby-blat, my stomach, as it soaks in the juices and the bile. It will be converted into gimbus as it slowly sleeks down my intestines, and the various villi pull out nutrients of lead and zinc and mercury and dioxin and glyphosate, and life is really good. Life is good. The body will consume itself, and I'll just go to the doctor and say, take it all out. Replace it with sawdust, and where my heart was, please put a stone. Just put a stone there, Doc, and I'll be fine. I'll be fine. Just sew me back up, pull out my brain, plasticize it, freeze dry it, plasticize it, laminate it, stick it back in. This is all we need to do. This is life. This is good. Yeah, I don't know about cookbooks. Cookbooks for people on the edge of existence. And the thing is, it is a relative thing. Like, I'm basically white man poor. But there's different kinds of poor even in America. And poor American is not the same as poor. I know I say this a lot in my podcast, but people really need to just wise up on this. Being poor in America, to a certain extent, is still way better than being poor, in most of the world. It's why so many people want to come here. Much of the world is collapsing economically. I hate to break it to you. But and it's not all just about business and economics. Some of it's about bombs and bullets. Some of it's about, us going and blowing the hell out of countries. I didn't want to get all negative, talking about my Skimbiss stew. But I was reading an article about the sanctions on Iran and how they're preventing disaster relief. There have been terrible floods in Iran and lots of damage, lots of flooding, lots of terrible, disastrous flooding in Iran, and our sanctions are preventing help. And why are there sanctions? Because Iran is so dangerous and they're going to destroy us and they have weapons of mass destruction. Have we heard all these stories before? People wonder, they'll say, Dan, why are you so negative on Americans? And the thing is, I think Americans are perfectly capable of thinking rationally. But the game model, the game theoretic setup has been structured in such a way that they get no payoff for thinking rationally. They get no payoff for being concerned about what happens if our government destroys another country. We destroyed Libya. We're now moving our troops out of Libya because there's no part of it that's safe. I mean, listen, it's bullshit, okay? It's total bullshit, but being poor in America is still being better than being poor in a lot of places. And yes, much of the world is collapsing, and some of that is the result of what we do, what the United States does. I'm not going to say me because I really don't support the system in that way any longer. At least to the extent that I can avoid it. But how do you avoid it? How do you avoid feeding the crocodile? I often meditate on that question mark. It's just bullshit. Iran has not really threatened anyone militarily for hundreds of years. Yes, there have been wars, but these are wars where other people invaded Iran. And now we're basically doing everything we can to topple that government because, again, they're not like us. And listen, I don't like backwards Muslim governments. Do not get me wrong. But it's not our job to do this. It's not our job to go around the world making sure that every single government is like ours. Because I don't like backward Muslim governments. I also don't like our shitty government. Our shitty kind of police state, half-ass bullshit deep state government. It can fuck itself too. So yeah, you can say what you want to say about the Iranian government, but please, physician, heal thyself first. Fix your own corrupt government before you go around the world deciding, oh, this government's so corrupt, let's cut off their electricity. Let's brew up some storms to give them historic flooding. I know, I went there, I said it. A lot of these weather disasters don't look so fucking random. I'm not trying to be an ass, but they really don't. So who knows, maybe this flooding is a random fucking historical thing, or maybe it's the US government fucking with the weather. Who the fuck knows? But I will say this. The bombing and the military threats and the sanctions are bullshit. There are people in Iran who have suffered a disaster and they need help. And our sanctions are preventing them from getting help. That is bullshit. That needs to stop. You know, and that's part of the 100th episode, right? We think about all the bullshit militarism and all that other crap. And we try to laugh about it as we eat our scrimba stew. And we contemplate when we're going to start this new contract at Microsoft, and I know I went there, but my new contract is there. I won't say that word again. And yeah, it's one of those places you end up contracting at, and hopefully it works out okay. I can't believe I just mentioned their name. I feel like I should bleep it, but I don't give a fuck. But hopefully I start my new contract soon, so my life can get back on track, so I can have scrimba stew with huckleberry fringes and spices from the east and the curries and the vindaloo. I want to have the vindaloo in the scrimba stew. And yeah, I know that you probably could say, Dan, you know, your 100th episodes, you're in the hundreds now, you're way past it. You jumped the shark with the homeless dude sexually assaulting the Toyota Prius. And I gotta say, yeah, Seattle jumped the shark on that one for me. Seattle did. But I think Seattle has a lot more to offer. I think as the days and weeks go by, I'm gonna see things in the streets of Seattle that will even blow my fucking mind. And I'm hard to blow these days. I'm really hard to blow. It's hard to blow my mind. It's hard to get me to that point. Let's pick a random topic. This one's not good. So I'm going to scrumple it up. It's getting scrumpled. Going to scrumple pile. Let's say, dead letter office of existence. The dead letter office of existence. You know, I was thinking about my podcasts. And that's when I wrote this down on this sticky note, the dead letter office of existence. I was thinking about my podcast, and I might have been vaping marijuana. It's possible. It happens sometimes, and sometimes I even have a beer when I'm vaping marijuana. I know that makes me a terrible person. If you want to judge me or set up a community forum or break into groups and do some sort of analysis, you can feel free. Yeah, the dead letter office of existence. Why does a person podcast? Why does a person have a YouTube channel? You know, one of the things that occurred to me a long time ago when I sort of set out on this journey of trying to become a writer again and also doing these podcasts and these stupid videos is what the agenda was, what the motivation was. Because if you're honest about it, if you're really honest, you know that there's a lot of ego in this bullshit, putting shit on the internet. There's a ton of ego. There's a huge dopamine rush. It's how social media works. It's how Twitter works. It's how Facebook works. You click the little like button and somebody feels better. You know, it sends a little burst of chemistry to the brain. And guys, listen, everyone likes their drugs. I'm not going to like judge you on your drugs just because your preferred drug might be Facebook. It might be responding to your phone and getting that little dopamine burst. I mean, I don't know if it's good for you, But I just can't judge you. I use marijuana. I sometimes do shrooms. I drink beer. How can I judge you? So I'm not gonna. But when I thought about the podcasting, like my podcasting, it kind of made me think that, well, in a way, it is like sending a letter. Sending a letter out into the world that you know might never be delivered. Like, this is the question, and I know I've talked about this a lot in my podcast about the questions of reality, the metaphysics of reality itself, but it is that question of what if I'm interacting with a simulation? What if I'm interacting with a big made-up thing? What if everything around me is false? So if I have a podcast, there is nothing listening to it. Everybody who claims they're listening to it are just simulated listeners. Maybe they talk to me, maybe they send me an email, maybe we communicate, but it's all created. None of it's real. What if, what if having these ridiculous rants where I'm screaming at the universe basically go nowhere to the dead letter office of existence? Anyways, I don't want to spend too much time on that one, but I thought that I would go through some of these sticky notes as part of my post 100th episode, because technically this is like my 102nd episode now. I know I should have done the 100th episode the right way, and you'll say, well, oh gee, Dan, now you'll have to call this the 100th episode, but it won't be the 100th episode. And yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what? The world doesn't work the way you want it to work. Sometimes it works upside down. Sometimes it works sideways. Sometimes the earth is a sphere. Sometimes it's an oblate spheroid. It really depends upon whether or not Neil deGrasse Tyson of Tyson Foods has been drinking. No, I'm kidding. I know he doesn't have anything to do with Tyson Foods. But, yeah, so the next little sticky note is trolling the economy. And yeah, trolling the economy. So we all know what trolling is. Although I gotta be blunt, the whole trolling thing, I think it's way overplayed. Troll is a good example of how, depending upon your perspective, somebody is something. Like, I think everybody ends up trolling everybody a lot, and this is way before the internet. We often mock each other, we often scoff. Mocking and scoffing was not invented with Facebook or Twitter. Mocking and scoffing were not invented when the internet came along. Mockers and scoffers have been around for thousands and thousands of years. So in a way, trolling's not a new thing. And as far as like, well, but you didn't used to have the power of technology. Well, okay, maybe. But imagine the impact of like a chain letter back in the day. I remember when I was a kid, okay? You'd get a chain letter that says, you don't forward this to five other people. Here are the bad things that are going to happen. And these are physical letters. These are not emails, okay? Physical chain letters were scary things. Trolling happened. It happened. People were trolled. It happened back in the day. And in a way, it was more impactful because if you had to like send a letter, you had to spend some money. It was different. And okay, and so maybe it wasn't as bad, but so many things have been amplified by technology. Human ignorance has been amplified by technology. Look at modern warfare. Look at nuclear weapons. Technology didn't fix the wisdom problem. It simply amplified what the inherent wisdom of humanity could produce. And yeah, in that sense, it amplified the good and the bad. And sadly, the bad gets a lot of emphasis, especially in America, especially with the military-industrial complex, you know? Anyways, that's a bit of a tangent, bit of a side tangent, but okay, what's the next little sticky note? Because I feel like I just killed that one. I just don't want to go further on that one. I don't want, yeah, okay. I had this one sticky note with Mrs. Crab Bottoms on it. Like, I don't know. It was sort of related to the whole thing about retirement. When you see all this the fictional crap about retirement. Like you'll see a handout for a drug. I haven't been to the doctor since 2013. But imagine I went to the doctor's office today. I might see a handout for some drug with a couple of really old people on it in the Bahamas windsurfing. And that's the shit that they pitch now. Or you're in an assisted living facility being taken care of by some wonderful person. And for me, it was like Mrs. Crabbottoms. Like, I'm in the future, I'm in some assisted living facility, and Mrs. Crabbottoms is checking the pipes and the lines and the rubber tubing that shoved up my sphincter, and she's untwisting and tweezing and lifting my body to clean the sores, because I'll have lots of sores. When I'm dying slowly on that bed that's covered in a layer of pus and dead skin, I'll be dying slowly as the bacteria eat away into my spine because of all the untreated infections at the assisted living facility that I could afford, which will be the worst one. It won't be a very good one. It'll be a terrible one. And Mrs. Crabbottoms will be the one who comes by and checks, but she'll always have a smile. She'll always say hello, and she'll go, "Ha, oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel, Mrs. Crabbottoms." Yeah, I don't know. The whole retirement thing seems like a fucking joke to me. I'm never gonna retire. I'll simply die. That's how it works. Okay? Retirement itself is bullshit. It isn't to say it wouldn't be nice to be able to take a break, but there's a way to do that without declaring to the universe, "I'm done for. I mean, there's no more I'm gonna do." You could just take a break. Why not slow your life down now? Why are people thinking that I'll work really hard and then sometime in the future, the universe will grant me a reprieve or some solace, or I'll find a time to sojourn later? It's like, listen, you need to find time to sojourn now. I'm not saying you should be lazy. That's not my fucking point. But if you're waiting for some magical time in the future where Mrs. Crabbottoms will bring you Mai Tais at the assisted living facility of the Bahamas, where you get to ride in the fucking Aerokite and you're getting that new drug that helps people with the parasite from Mars, if you think that that is gonna happen, fine. Live for that. Or you can say, you know what? Maybe this Friday I'm gonna take a mental health day and go see Brightburn with some friends. I think that's what people need to consider, especially given current events. If you're waiting for the future to be able to take a break so you can hang out with your kids, I'd suggest you take a break now. But that's just my opinion. I'm crazy. Where's the next sticky note? Oh, this was supposed to be a whole one. Okay, so village people. Do you all remember the village people? Okay, back in the day, the band, the Village People, there was an Indian, and there was a cop, and there was a sailor, and there was a construction worker, and I think there might have been a fireman, but honestly, I don't remember. But there was a bunch of these guys, and here's what's so funny. In fact, I remember this movie they made. It was about, I want to say, I want to remember the name of the movie. Oh, the Village People were in a movie. I'm going to ask Google, fucking Eric Schmidt. There's only one answer. Fucking Google. Village people. Village people. The Village People were so cool. Movie. It was a movie. I went and saw it. I went and saw that movie. What was it called? Oh, come on. It can't be that one. Ugh, that's not the one. What? Nope. Nope. That can't be it. Ugh. Village People movie. Maybe that is it. Okay, so this is maybe it. The Village People movie. Yeah, okay. Came out in 1980. And the name of the movie is Can't Stop the Music. Okay, so I think I saw this Can't Stop the Music. Maybe this is the one I'm thinking of. I think I saw this at the movie theater. And it was kind of like, okay, these guys seem cool. What's funny, and this kind of tells you how I grew up. Like, I grew up in Mount Vernon, Washington in the 70s and 80s. So you can, it wasn't quite, It wasn't like Little House on the Prairie, right? But we used to watch Little House on the Prairie and we used to mock them. So anyways, it was kind of like that. It was sort of like back in the day, things were different bullshit. Well, they were different. We had a television set. Maybe at one point we had two, one for the adults and one for the kids. And they were big and they were heavy, but they were not the HD bullshit. And we had channels we tuned into with antennas. Okay, antennas that tuned into channels, you fuck. Anyway, so can't stop the music. But here's the thing. I didn't know they were gay or that it had anything to do with gay culture. I didn't know that. I mean, later on I found out that. It's kind of like the whole thing with with Wham, with freaking you know who I'm talking about. Wham, Michael. Come on, Wham. Wham, George Michael. Yeah, George Michael. That makes me think of Arrested Development. George Michael. I didn't know. In Mount Vernon, Washington, back in the 70s, we didn't know if village people were gay. I just thought they were cool. It's like, oh, the village people are so cool. And I think I remember, like, I might have said that around Sister Una or Sister Angela. And I think she might have just, she shaked her head. And what I didn't know. It was just, they were cool. Well, I didn't know George Michael was gay. Back in the day, it was like George Michael. It's like all these girls were like, oh, I just wish you could be like George Michael. It's like, fuck. I'm never gonna be George Michael. He's just too fucking cool. Yeah, a lot of people we didn't know were gay. That's actually a good name for a book. A lot of people we didn't know were gay. So that's the Village People sticky note. We got rid of that one, okay? Eh, I'm gonna throw this one away. It's worthless. What's this next one? Okay, so this one's about my sisters. And my sisters, okay, so we had two TV sets growing up. We had one for the parents, one for the kids. In general, the one for the parents was upstairs. When my dad was home, he could kind of be stressed out and you really didn't want to be around him at times. So we would be downstairs. And then it became a battle. And I had six sisters, okay? A brother, eight kids battling for the power of the TV set. Well, and at one point we got a VCR. In fact, we got two VCRs, one for the one downstairs, one for the one upstairs. Anyways, my sisters loved watching they would keep getting the VHS cassette tape of Fiddler on the Roof. And I don't know what to say about it over and over again. Between that and during the summer, oh my God, during the summer they would watch the soaps all the time. I didn't want to know about the soap bullshit. It's like, I don't know, this Fiddler on the Roof thing, I don't know if I want to spend too much time on this, but I didn't like to know about the soap operas. They were bullshit to me. But my sisters pretty much controlled that TV. So they would have it tuned in to like freaking, I don't know, Days of Our Lives and General Hospital and all these fucking stupid fucking shows. So I would end up learning about these plots. I didn't want to know. I would just be walking by and I'd pick up something and be like about, oh, that's the Ice Princess and what's up with Luke and Laura? And why are they on that fucking island someplace doing sci-fi stuff on a soap opera? The Ice Princess, that's bullshit. Fucking Luke and Laura. Anyways, I did have something I more or less carved out for myself. It was hard, but it wasn't that hard because it happened on the right day of the week and it was the right time of the right day, Saturday afternoon. But I used to try to carve out Saturday afternoon for sci-fi theater. And I think it was either one or two movies. But sci-fi theater was on Channel 11 and they had a really cool intro. It was like really kind of dark and apocalyptic, like, ooh, like scary. So sci-fi theater. And they would play a lot of old sci-fi movies. Although in retrospect, this was the 1970s and 80s. So when I say old sci-fi movies, it's like, yeah, old in the sense of from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s. And old sci-fi movies. They would play them on sci-fi theater. And that was my thing. So that, I'm just gonna throw that frickin' sticky note away. We're done with that one. This next one is titled Pixelated Communication. So you know what pixelation is? Pixelation is where an image looks like a bunch of little squares and might be missing stuff. It actually has a lower quality, lower resolution. You're seeing more sharp edges and less contours. So pixelation happens. And I kind of feel like the way that people have connected to smart devices, it's sort of like pixelated their ability to communicate. There's a big difference between sitting across a table at a bar with someone and having a conversation, or basically using an app on a phone. An app on the phone, you're going through these filters and controls, and they're giving you five buttons and three colors and an up arrow and a down arrow, and maybe there's a little freaking whatever, thumbs up. And the bottom line is that all of this, as cool as it might seem, is so much less real than just sitting across the table from someone, like just a group of people at a bar. And so basically a lot of our communication with each other via the internet gets quite pixelated. It's very splotchy. Lots of sharp edges, lots of cubes, not a lot of resolution. And because of that, I think we do have a lot of problems when we talk about issues. It's like all of a sudden we've forgotten that there is a big difference. There are facial expressions. There are ways in which we simply act. There's the atmosphere of the room. It is not the same. Now, you could argue, well, Dan, you're being all old-fashioned-y and you're being all old-timey, and you should go back to Uncle Coot's farm somewhere in Virginia and hang out with the other, you know, other people raising pigs. And you know what? Maybe I should go back to that life. You know, like the Elton John song, you know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I should go back to the Horny Toad. I probably should go back to the Horny Toad back in the fucking hootie cows of Mount Vernon, Washington, where I could live with Bigfoot and live in peace. I'm going to leave all that there and move on to the next one. See what I find here. Oh, okay. This one's kind of religious, though. So I was thinking about some of the themes of the Old Testament, and there are different themes. I've talked about the cycle of apostasy before, the whole way in which every 15 minutes it seems like the Hebrews are... Every 15 minutes after the Hebrews are saved by God, they're looking for a false idol. They're looking for Baal. That's the cycle of apostasy. It's over and over again throughout the Old Testament. 40 years later, they're doing the whole, what have you done for me lately to God? And so they're building their little false idols. But one of the things that occurred to me that is a good way to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament is to think in terms of children. In a lot of ways, in terms of culture, in terms of the way people interacted, the people of the Old Testament were really like children. And the thing is, if you're constantly protecting a child from their mistakes, if you're constantly interacting with them, you're keeping them from learning. So there is this weird tension between letting your kid, and I've never been a parent, so what the fuck do I know? But there is that tension between letting some child learn on its own, but also making sure it doesn't go and get run over by a car. I mean, you do have to like protect the kid, right? But at the same time, you want the kid to learn. So much of the Old Testament, the Hebrews seem like children that are just trying to figure things out, making a ton of mistakes. And it is a thing where God steps in a lot. But then when you look at the New Testament, and especially the era of the New Testament, which means these last couple millennia since Jesus Christ, one of the things that occurs to me, and actually Kierkegaard pondered this, is that sense that God hasn't been doing big things. Like, there aren't these huge type A miracles that occur in the last 2,000 years. Yeah, there are these events, and yes, there are miracles recorded by the Catholic Church and saints and all types of things. But the giant things like, you know, plagues of frogs and, you know, lakes having the water separated so people could walk through the lake. I mean, these types of miracles have not generally been happening. And one of the things you could argue is, well, what if that's part of the New Testament covenant too? Is that it's now pretty much on us. I mean, yeah, God is still there for us. It's not that God has abandoned us. That's not my point. But the big stuff, the big sort of like coming down to save us, that's probably not part of the New Testament covenant. We have to save ourselves. We have to be better people. You know, that's part of the message. It's not going to be, you know, training wheels. Training wheel time ended, you know, when Christ was on the cross. That was the end of training wheels. It's time for us to put on the big boy pants and the big girl pants, so to speak, and recognize that it's up to us. This world can either survive as a decent place for people, or it can become a hell. It can become a new Sodom. Anyways, that's kind of religious, so I didn't almost want to do that one, and I'm just going to switch topics because that's just kind of like I didn't want to be too religious tonight, you know, and talk about that. Oh, I don't know if I want to talk about this one. No. See, this is the process, man. Okay, so here's the thing. I've talked about my own position with marijuana. I don't want to repeat it too often because people might get the wrong idea. It's really not that complicated. It's not even as complicated as the village people and how I thought they were cool or how I didn't know, you know, George Michael was gay. I didn't really use marijuana till I was 38 years old. So really it's just been the last 10 years. Now, I will tell you, and I have a different sticky note for this, so maybe I'll do it next, but I will tell you, it's not a panacea. I'm not a patent drug salesman. I'm not going to tell you that if you do the old-timey weed treatment, your hair will grow back and you'll cure your verbulitis and all of your stool will harden or it'll soften depending upon what you prefer. I'm not going to tell you that bullshit. But I will tell you, I think weed saved my life because, confession. I think that there's a lot of addictive behavior in my family, and I think I do have a kind of addictive personality. So, as someone who could suffer from serious addiction issues, weed has given me something I can do that, yeah, isn't perfect, but is so much less destructive than going down the alcoholism road or the I'm gonna shoot heroin road or do meth road. There are worse roads. And when people talk about weed being a gateway drug, boy, do they have that one wrong. They're totally wrong there. Weed is more like a cul-de-sac drug. And I've mentioned this to people before. Weed is a drug that for people who suffer from addictive personality disorder or have addictive personalities, weed is a drug where they kind of just stay there. And listen, they usually have almost normal lives and they contribute and they're not being housed in prison cells or being buried too young. So yeah, anyways, I have this note, the sticky note that says weed versus whiskey eyes. And here's the other thing too. It's like if you can say a lot of things about a person who's high, but in general, all the people I've met who are high on weed, not high on other drugs, but high on weed, they're easy to work with. They're easy to talk to. But then there's the person who's really, really drunk, and they get the whiskey eyes. And you know what I mean by the whiskey eyes? The whiskey eyes are the really bloodshot eyes. And this applies to men and women both, everybody, every gender. You've had too much whiskey, and you get the whiskey eyes. And if I have to choose, this is like a choice, the pothead versus the whiskey eyes. I'll choose the pothead every day of the week. Whiskey eyes can mean anything. People get blackout drunk. I've never gotten blackout high. Okay? The worst thing that happens when you get high is you fall asleep. Big fucking deal. You probably needed some sleep anyways if you're the typical fucking American. Anyways, weed versus whiskey eyes. I will choose weed every day of the week. That one's solved. Scrumple it up. Scrumple it up. There goes the sticky note. Wow, I'm making progress. I have one sticky note labeled doldrums, tension in the air. I don't know if I want to go off on this tangent. I've talked about it. I have this weird sense that is spiking a little bit right now that there's something ugly on the horizon. But it's happened before. It happened in 2013. and off and on the last decade. So I'm not sure it means anything. But there's this weird feeling. And also, it could be related to listening to Dane Wigington and Guy McPherson, or as they say in Quebec, Guy McPherson. It could be related to listening to these guys, because they've got some really, as far as doom porn goes, and I hate to categorize them like this, but as far as doom porn goes, their shit's pretty fucking doomy. Okay, so yeah, but no, I have this sense that there's been this kind of doldrums, but there's some weather change occurring, but we'll see. Anyways, I think a lot of shit's happening, and we all sense it, and we all know that there's a lot of people out there sexually assaulting Toyota Priuses and a lot of large women pooping in the alleyway, and that's just normal, and we need to accept that now. So let's get the next one here, the next little. I have a sticky note labeled "Every absence is a presence," and I think this was related to something to do. What did it have to do with "Every absence is a presence"? Well, in general, there's some truth to this. Like, sometimes there's a great message in what's not there, like what's missing. Like, sometimes there's a presence in something not being present. I know that sounds weird, but anyways, I don't want to dwell on this one. This one I'm going to scrumple up. Scrumpling it. Going down the hole. Making progress for my non-100th episode. Oh, here's a good one. Temple Grandin movies. Okay, so if you don't know who Temple Grandin was, Temple Grandin was an autistic woman who revolutionized the management of cattle and other, I think mostly cattle, but large animals, and the harvesting of cattle. She revolutionized the way that the cattle yards were designed so that the cattle would move through them without getting stressed out. And so she was kind of a genius, and she was one of these high-functioning autistic people, very much a genius. But again, autistic, and you know, it is what it is. Anyways, I've described America these days as a kind of Temple Grandin society. They have figured out how to kill us in a way that we don't even know it's coming, and they figured out how to control us and overpower us in the same way, very much like these cattle sort of peacefully going through the Temple Grandin designed cattle yard. And there are movies, sci-fi movies that I would call like Temple Grandin society movies, like Logan's Run. Logan's Run is a good example of a society, the one that Logan lives in before he escapes, where it's very controlled and monitored right up to the point that the person's slaughtered, right up to the point of going to carousel. The entire thing is so smooth, so streamlined, that people don't think about the fact that, yeah, well, they don't have to, because they've been told another story, that something wonderful is going to happen, and they're going to get reincarnated, you know, through carousel. They'll get renewal, you know, because their crystal turned red, so they got to go to carousel, which is really just it looks like a big, I think what it is, just a bug zapper for people. But essentially, people think if you get zapped and you're in the right state of mind, you get renewed, you get renewal. So Logan's Run is kind of a Temple Grandin movie, because it describes a society where people are, where life is so well managed that people blissfully and peacefully march to the slaughterhouse. And there are sci-fi movies like that. I mean, in some, actually, that sci-fi movie The Island is a perfect example, where the clones are being managed in kind of an apocalyptic reality. You know, the clones are basically being managed, like, hey, you know, if you're good, you'll get to go to the island. But in reality, they're just being harvested for the people that need organs. So The Island is a sci-fi movie. It came out in, I think, 2005, and it stars Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson. Really good, I think, a pretty good sci-fi movie. And yeah, it was kind of, it's a thing. It's a good Temple Grandin sci-fi reality where people are basically in such a well-constructed reality, they sort of peacefully, blissfully march their way to their own doom. Anywho, that was that one. I don't know if I need to talk about anything else about Temple Grandin movies, Temple Grandin societies. I'm going to do this one now because it makes sense. So I have a sticky note that says diabetes of the soul. And you could say, Dan, what the fuck does that mean? Diabetes of the soul. Well, so here's the deal. I have been using marijuana for about 10 years. And I will say, as I said earlier, I think it helps me. I don't think it's perfect. There is nothing like that is perfect, but it is way better than the alternatives. I've tried antidepressants. I've tried the stuff the doctor gives you. It's shit. So I'm doing the best I can. But if you want to know, is there a dark side to weed? There absolutely is. I've been there. And I go there every once in a while. Like, I won't tell you I never go back, but I have been to the dark side of marijuana. And I call it diabetes of the soul. You know, and I got this idea. I was meeting with a counselor the year after my mom died, off and on, and near the time my sister Nancy died, but mostly in 2011, I was meeting with a counselor. And one day, you know, the topic came up, well, Dan, how does marijuana make you feel? And I said, listen, imagine you had a bucket of frosting, and you could paint the world in frosting. That's how marijuana makes me feel. It's not just that food tastes better. Everything is better. Everything feels better. Everything feels less shitty. In general, my attitude isn't so shitty. I don't hate the human race. I don't hate existence. I don't dread myself. I don't feel unwelcome in the universe. And everything is wonderful. But the problem is that you just can't paint everything in frosting all the time. And you just can't live that way all the time. Life is not perfect. Life is not painless. As James Howard Kunstler has often said, you know, life is tragic and people should accept that. But the problem with marijuana is that you can get yourself in a state of mind where you'll say, well, life is just not a big deal because I can just be high all the time. So I do think you get diabetes of the soul. You get too much of the everything's okay and not enough of the reality check. And beyond that, the other part of the dark side of weed is if you're just doing weed all the time, you're not doing anything else. You're not, you know, going on hikes. You're not going on trips. You're not writing books. You're not doing anything else. You're just vaping weed. So the thing is, I talk about marijuana. I want people to know it's not like there isn't a dark side. But that's the dark side, in my opinion. Because I have abused marijuana as much as a person possibly could. And that's as bad as it gets, okay, from my experience. Compare that dark side to the dark side of alcoholism. What's the worst case there? Well, the worst case there is probably severe, you know, irreparable liver damage. And from what I can tell, there is nothing toxic about weed. And the other dark side is you could simply drink so much that you die. You can't use so much weed that you're going to die. That's total bullshit. You can't. What's the worst scenario with heroin, as I said earlier? Oh, I don't know. Take some fentanyl and you're dead. So, yeah, marijuana's not perfect, and you got to be careful. And if you're going to use it to treat anxiety and help with pain management, I think it's a great option. And I think recreationally, once in a while, is okay. But if you do it all the time, it's like anything else. What are you not doing? What are the things that you should be doing in your life that you're postponing? Should you be exercising? Should you be working? Should you be doing other things? That is the dark side. But again, comparing that to meth, you know, meth, heroin, or alcohol, I don't consider that as horror, you know, I don't consider that a horror story. There are some real horror stories when it comes to meth and heroin and alcohol and drugs like that. Anyways, diabetes of the soul, that's one of the potential syndromes that results from using too much weed. But it's easy. It's, you know how you solve that? You take a break from the marijuana, from the ganja, and you go for a fucking walk, or you go to church, or you read a book. You just don't have to vape and use weed all the fucking time. Although it's funny, as I say that, you know, some days, and these days, I'll still have a day where I'll do it. I'll just do it all day. It is what it is. I think I've gotten through all my sticky notes in the sticky note queue. The ones that are left are Not for me and you. That was all kind of Dr. Susie bullshit. Dr. Seuss. I'm gonna sign off for this little Saigon report and just say that, you know, this was not technically my 100th episode Saigon report. This is technically like gonna show up as the 102nd or something. But let's pretend it's the 100th, it's the 100th. In fact, that'll be the title. Let's go to pretend land and pretend that this was the 100th episode, okay? Have a great evening.